Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Regardless of how one might feel, worshiping the Lord is always appropriate because we worship God for who He is, not because of our circumstances. God is always faithful, and we should make it known to the whole world, especially to our children and grandchildren, in our songs of praise. Please open your Bible to Psalm 89 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this chapter.
Psalm 89. It's a Mishil of Ethan the Ezrahite. This is the last psalm in the third collection covering Psalm 73 through 89, and it is usually given this position because the ending of the psalm, verse 42, is "Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." And that matches up with the end of the first section, Psalm 41, verse 13. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen and amen." And the second section ends, "Amen and amen." After David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and placed it in the tabernacle that he had pitched for it, three men were appointed to lead the choir, to direct the praise: Asaph, Heman, and Ethan. And so Ethan is one of those three men that the Holy Spirit anointed to write this psalm. And in verse 1, we read, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." I will sing. 17 times in the Psalms, we read the phrase, "I will sing." It's a determination that is in our heart to sing to the Lord and to worship Him in spite of how we feel, in spite of the things that we may be going through. We sing to the Lord and we worship Him for who He is. And this psalm opens on a joyful note of worship with praise to God, singing of the mercies of the Lord, making known His faithfulness. That is what our mouths and our voices were made for: to sing of the mercies of the Lord and to make known His faithfulness to all generations. That's our responsibility. My responsibility as a father and as a grandfather is to pass on to my son, my daughter, my grandsons, my granddaughters, the truth that God is merciful, that God is faithful. That's our responsibility as a church. And throughout this psalm, Ethan is going to speak of the mercies and the faithfulness of God. Now it appears in verse 2 that the Holy Spirit is speaking. "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." And so again, Ethan gives praise to God for His mercy and faithfulness. And tonight we need to remember. Oh, do we need to remember? We've always needed to know this. But if there was ever a time that we needed to remind ourselves that God is faithful, it's tonight. Because a lot of people are getting weary. A lot of people are filled with fear. And we need to realize that when we come here tonight, we come here worshiping the God who is faithful. He is faithful. You know that, right? We have been called into fellowship with God, who is a faithful God. I believe that one of the most important disciplines of the Christian life is to renew our minds with the character of God. And I don't know if it was last week or not, but I've been finding myself, when I'm talking with people, and we're talking about issues of life, asking them, when you think of the character of God, what is the first character that comes to your mind? I mean, just think. What's the first character that comes to your mind? That is very important, because that is how you are going to primarily relate to the Lord. God is like no other. We're going to see that tonight. We sang that tonight. There's nothing to be compared with our God. He's faithful. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17 that the Lord Jesus Christ is our merciful and faithful high priest who has made reconciliation for the sins of the people. By God's grace, you and I have been reconciled to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are a reconciled people. But the beautiful thing is that the scripture says, be ye reconciled to God. The enmity was on our part, not God's. We've been reconciled by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Again, the Lord speaking. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, stop, pause, and think about this. I have made a covenant with my chosen. We are a chosen people. Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. We are a chosen people. And the amazing thing is that that choice predated creation. You and I have been chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amazing. Amazing. We are a chosen people. And this covenant that Ethan is talking about was the covenant that God made with David there in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way in chapter 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David will never fail because they are secure to you and I tonight by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. According to the book of Hebrews, this covenant that you and I are in, Jesus is the mediator of this covenant. And it is called a better covenant because it is based upon better promises. It is an everlasting covenant. Just think of it tonight. Loved ones, you and I are in an everlasting covenant with the living God. You guys look thrilled. We are in a covenant with God. Years ago, there was a movement among men. It was called the Promise Keepers. That fizzled out real quick. It ended up being the Promise Weepers. But a promise is really only as good as the one that's making the promise. And the covenant is only as good as the one that is making the covenant. It's God that has made a covenant with us. God has made this covenant with us. It's sure. It's everlasting. And we sang it tonight. This God that we are in the covenant with is a wonder-working God. Look at verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. You know, this time reading through the scriptures, I find myself, like you, just in awe when I read of all of the things that God says about himself. And I find myself circling thy faithfulness, thy wonders, thy goodness, thy mercy, thy love. And never doubt, beloved, the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. You believe that? The very heavens declare the glory of God. One of my early morning routines is spending some time with the Lord, then going out for a walk, and now it's getting darker. And the past few mornings, I can see my breath, so it's getting a little chilly, but it's been crystal clear, and I could see every star in the sky. and I'm walking and worshiping my God. He holds every one of them in their place. He calls them all by name. Can you imagine? And here the psalmist says, the heavens shall declare thy wonders. Now, the Hebrew word for wonders there means a miracle. Marvelous, marvelous things. Our God does marvelous things. It's a word that is used to represent things that are extraordinary. 14 times in the Psalms, this Hebrew word, declaring the wonders of the Lord. 11 times in the New Testament, we find the English word wonders, and it's usually in the context of proclaiming the gospel. Beloved, I've got good news for you tonight. Our God is, not was, not used to be, a wonder-working God. A wonder-working God who only does wondrous things, marvelous things. And I'm just believing that God's going to do wondrous things and marvelous things tonight. As we sit in His presence, and as we lift Him up, and as we hear His word. Thy faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Now, this word congregation is an Old Testament word that would find a New Testament equivalent in Hebrews 10:25, where it says that we are to assemble ourselves together. This isn't like me and Jose or Phil or Paul or Tony or Mike or Reuben. This isn't us going out and having a cup of coffee and talking about the Lord. That's fellowship. That's wonderful. That's about the people of God gathering in a house of God to worship Him, to adore Him, to magnify Him, to exalt Him, to gather around His presence. Remember that when the nation of Israel was going from Egypt to the promised land, they gathered around a presence. And we're here tonight, congregationally, gathered around the presence of one, the presence of the Lord. Notice the word saints. Saints. I was taught when I was a little boy that saints were certain people who, after they died, were noted for doing some extraordinary things, and then they became canonized. And so, being born a good old Catholic boy, I was named after Saint Erasmo. And then when I got saved and started reading the Bible, I would read, Paul would write to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Philippi, to the saints at Colossae. And I thought, wait a minute. These people are alive. These people are on earth. And so I'm looking tonight at a room full of saints. 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 Look at Saint Anthony. If you lose anything, don't call him. Saints. The word saint doesn't mean that we glow in the dark. The word saint means that we have been set apart for the Master's use. And because of God's grace, through faith, we have become saints. Look at verse 6. We sang it tonight. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? I just love that verse. It kind of establishes that huge distance between me, the creature, and Him, the Creator. Exodus 15, verse 11 says, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Our Lord is glorious in holiness. And He's doing wonders. Right now, God is doing wonders. Right now, right here, in your life, in my life, in this planet that from the natural eye looks like it's crazy and mixed up. God is doing wonders. Jeremiah 10 verse 6 says, "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might." I think another one of the most blessed disciplines in the Christian life is to just think of all of the names of the Lord. Just think of all of the names of the Lord. Our advocate, our bridegroom, our counselor, our deliverer, Emmanuel, the faithful one, the great God. We can go on and on and on. I don't know about you, but when my heart and my mind are overwhelmed or I'm in a valley, I find that the Holy Spirit will just bring to recall all of the characters and the attributes of God, and it seems to put whatever I'm going through in the place that it should be. What a God we have. Who can be compared to Him? You see, this verse tells us that you and I see something that God does not see. Wait, what are you talking about? We see something that God does not see. Every day we look around and we see equals. When God looks out, He doesn't see an equal because He doesn't have any. There's none like Him. There is none like Him. All of the universe is divided into creator and everything else. That's it. Creator and creature. That's all there is. There is God, and then there is that which is not God. There's the creator, and there's created beings. Who is like unto our God? Who is like unto our God? Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, or God of heaven's armies, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, You still them. Again, Ethan here repeats what he said in the last verse. Who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Who? Nobody. There is no one like our God. I think that the church, the whole church, needs a fresh revelation of the greatness and the wonder of God. I really believe that the church needs a God awakening. I really believe that. That's my prayer. God, give us an awakening. An awakening as to who You are. He stills the storm. Remember when Jesus sent the multitudes away and He told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side, and they got in the boat and they went to the other side? And there was a storm. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the wind. And the word rebuked is the same word that was used when He cast out devils. So He sends the disciples on a mission, on a journey, just to go to the other side. And who sends the storm of opposition? The devil. And the Lord rebuked the storm. You and I are on a mission, beloved. We're on a mission. And the destiny is secure. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now is when we have opposition. There ain't going to be any demons in heaven. There's not going to be any devils in heaven. And so, in this opposition that you and I face, this Jesus, that is our Lord, who is a strong Lord, He still rules the raging of the sea. He still, tonight, if you're in a storm, He can, and He may, and it would be wonderful if He did, just say to that storm, stop. And it's over. That's it. One word. That's all He's got to say. Stop. It's over. How many of you are believing God for a stop, it's over miracle tonight? We have to learn to live with this mystery, don't we? And there is a mystery between knowing the character of God, the promises of God, and the things that we deal with. But never forget that God only has to speak a word. And that storm, that trial, that difficulty, that addiction, that affliction, whatever that is, must stop. Because He rules and He reigns. When the Lord did that, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" There's none like our God. Verse 10, "You have broken Rahab." That is a symbol for Egypt. "You've broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. You have scattered thine arms with thy strong arm." And again, look at verse 11. "The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, you have founded them." The heavens belong to the Lord. The heavens. I love 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." What a great verse. What a great verse to memorize, to think on, to meditate on. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Yours is the victory. Yours is the majesty. All that is in heaven and earth is yours. Talk about sovereignty. He rules and He reigns over all. Another verse among many which declares that the heaven and the earth and all that is in them are because of the creation of God. They're not the product of evolution. "The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name." Hermon is a mountain up in the north, there near Damascus. Tabor, a little bit smaller, about 50 miles southwest of Hermon. And notice these mountains rejoice in thy name. How many times do you read in Scripture about creation, nature, worshiping God? It's amazing. Isaiah 55:12 says, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I love it. I love the imagery in Scripture. You know, since I've been born again, I've never been able to look at creation the same again. Never. Never. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is April 20th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.